Were I you, I'd make the trek instead. Follow the railroad tracks out of the shadows. Tell them what you did before they can tell you, and get on your knees with your heads bared and beg their forgiveness. Never! Someone shouted adamantly, but Jake thought some of the others looked unsure. As you will, said Roland. I've spoken my last word on it, and the next who speaks back to me may remain silent ever after, for one of my friends is preparing another, her husband, to lie in the ground, and I am full of grief and rage. Would you speak more? Would you dare my rage? If so, you dare this. He drew his gun and laid it in the hollow of his shoulder. Jake stepped up beside him, at last drawing his own. There was a moment of silence, and then the man who had spoken turned away.
Don't shoot us, mister. You've done enough, someone said bitterly.
Roland made no reply, and the crowd began to disperse. Some went running, and the others caught that like a cold. They fled in silence, except for a few who were weeping, and soon the dark had swallowed them up.
Wow, Dinky said. His voice was soft and respectful.
Roland, Ted said. What they did wasn't entirely their fault. I thought I had explained that, but I guess I didn't do a very good job. Roland holstered his revolver. You did an excellent job, he said. That's why they're still alive. Now they had the Damley House end of the mall to themselves again, and Shimi limped up to Roland. His eyes were round and solemn.
Will you show me where you'd go, dear? He asked. Can you show me the place?
The place. Roland had been so fixed on the when that he'd scarcely thought of the where, and his memories of the road they had traveled in Lovell were pretty skimpy. Eddie had been driving John Cullum's car, and Roland had been deep in his own thoughts, concentrating on the things he would say to convince the caretaker to help them.